The focus for our thinking this evening is in that letter of Paul to the Colossians, as we find it partly in chapter 1 and partly in chapter 2. In verse 27 of chapter 1, we read these words: "To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And then down in verse 6 of chapter 2, "Just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted, built up in him, strengthened in the faith, as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." Now, this is a message, first of all, to every born-again believer, every true believer. This is not a formula for some sort of super spirituality, for those, as it were, who are at the top of the spiritual league. No, it is for every individual, no matter who they are, in every time, whatever their age, whatever their ability, whatever their cultural background. If they know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour, they are in Christ. And he is the hope of glory. And having received Christ as our Saviour, we are instructed to continue to live in him, to live in Christ. Well, now, these normally would be rather mysterious words. And indeed, you notice that the Apostle Paul has said in verse 26 of chapter 1, the mystery kept hidden for ages and generations, but now disclosed to the saints, revealed to the saints, so that they can begin to understand it, but also to live in the reality of it. Because a believer, a saint, is a person who has had a very vital experience that has been transforming, that has changed them in such a radical way as to bring them from spiritual death to spiritual life. And that life is in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. We come into this world without God. The Lord God sustains us in our existence. The Lord God provides for us in our food and our drink. But we are separated by nature from the Lord God, our Creator, separated by our sin. And the entire human race has been separated from God by our sin since that moment our first parents, Adam and Eve, rebelled against God's purpose in the Garden of Eden. But for many people, and for most of us perhaps in this church, something wonderful has happened. We received Christ. We received him. In John's Gospel, in chapter 1, we read these words: "To all who received him," and the majority rejected him, "but to those who received him and believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. I used the word radical, didn't I? Can anything be more radical than to be born of God? He who is from everlasting to everlasting, he who created the entire universe from nothing simply by the power of his word, because he would do so to his glory, to be born of that God. And there's a reference, isn't there, to the inner man. Well, next we need to consider what is meant by this little phrase, these two words, the inner man. Well, when God created mankind, we are told in Genesis chapter 2 that he was there physically, created out of the dust of the ground. And then in chapter 2 he says this: the Lord formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. So our life, to begin with, was God-breathed. And man became a living being. That is not said of any other creature on this earth. Man is distinct from every other part of creation, in that we have been made in the image of God. In chapter 1 of Genesis, we read this: then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. We were made in the likeness of God. I would not dare to say that were it not before us here in the God, Holy Spirit inspired scripture. So there is this inner life that God gave to us, the breath of life, and we became a living being. In that sense, we were God aware. We were joined to God in communion, in fellowship. But when Adam sinned and Eve sinned, that communion was broken. But it is restored through our Lord Jesus Christ, through his work. It is restored in the person who has been born of God, or we describe as being born again. So God brings us, according to his will, in his time, to know him as Father through the Son, through the atoning work of his Son. And when I use that word atoning, I mean that the blood of Christ was shed that we might be forgiven. We deserved eternal separation from God. But because the Lord Jesus Christ has paid for our sin, paid the penalty of our sin, we are received into the household of God. We are received into the kingdom of God. One night, a man who was a great teacher in Israel came to Jesus and he said, we know you've come from God because nobody could do these things unless they'd come from God. Now, this man was a great teacher in Israel, perhaps the teacher. And Jesus said, Nicodemus, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Later on, he repeats himself, man cannot enter the kingdom of God without being born again. And you can read of that conversation in John's Gospel in chapter 2. And so we have, because through the life of Christ and through the life-giving nature of Christ, we have this inner man, which is Christ in you. Now, if you do not know the Lord as your Saviour, you will not understand that. It can only be understood by the Spirit of God. And it is only a child of God who has received the Holy Spirit and can therefore understand. And for us, it is a gift, it is a mystery that is wonderfully opened to us. When we become alive through the life of Christ, we are granted the Holy Spirit to understand. Well, now there may be a question in your life. How can we be in Christ? We understand that about 40 days after the resurrection of Jesus, the Lord Jesus ascended physically, really, back to the Father. There were witnesses who saw him rise. It was a visible and a physical ascension. So how can we be in Christ? How can he live in my inner being? I am here on planet Earth. He is there in heaven. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ is our teacher on this matter. And if you have your Bible open, I would ask you to turn to John's Gospel and chapter 14. Or listen carefully. These are the words of Jesus. In verse 15 of chapter 14, he says, "If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him." So the Spirit of Truth evidently is a person. Jesus says the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. So here's a reference to the Holy Spirit. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. And Jesus goes on, "I will not leave you as orphans." He does leave physically, but he does not leave us as orphans. But then he says, "I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore." Jesus will ascend. "But you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you." So Jesus says to the one who knows him as their Saviour, "I am in you, and you are in me." So the Apostle Paul is teaching us, isn't he, something in shorthand, as to what Jesus has said. Many of us who went through Sunday school learnt certain choruses. And one of them, as I recall, was, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and he talks with me along life's narrow way. You ask me how I know he lives. Well, he lives within my heart. A simple chorus that describes the reality of the life of a person who is a believer. We have to understand And we have to grow in our understanding of these things. Well, then, of course, a question arises. Well, what are we to do about this? Something wonderful happens to me when I'm born again of the Holy Spirit. And we start off as babes in Christ, knowing very little. And what does the Apostle Paul say to us? Well, we read it there in chapter 2. As you received Christ Jesus. Well, ask yourself if you're a believer, how did you receive Christ? Well, you received Christ by faith. You prayed the prayer. You said, Lord God, Lord Jesus, I recognize my sinfulness. Forgive me, make me your child, live within me as I understand you can and will. I believe the gospel. And you wait upon him and you receive him like that by faith. On the day of Pentecost, when the Lord Jesus, as he says in John chapter 14, when he sends the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, the Apostle Peter stood up after they asked him a question. Those who had crucified Jesus, they asked him a question. What shall we do? He said, repent and believe, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. And it is by faith. The Lord Jesus said, unless you become as a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, think about little children. Little children ask for things. They ask believing, assuming, of course, what they're asking for is good for them. And the parent gives to the child. And the child receives in a childlike manner. The child, little child, does not ask about the provenance of the piece of bread that it's being given, or where the meat came from. The little child simply takes and eats. The Lord Jesus Christ, on one occasion, when and he offended many people, including many who were following him, he said, unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you can have no part of me. He was talking, of course, in a spiritual sense. And that was a mystery that the disciples could not understand at that stage. So what are we to do about it? We are to begin to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see next, my friends, how this is going to work out. Christ in you as a believer. Or Christ in you when you become a believer. Which I trust and we pray will be very soon. The Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit, we can see, work in a way that is inseparable from each other. The Holy Spirit does not work without Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus does not work without the Holy Spirit. Again, the Lord Jesus Christ must be our teacher in this. Again, if you turn in John chapter 16, John's Gospel chapter 16, the Lord Jesus is speaking to his disciples, of course, and he puts things very simply. When he, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. So when you became a believer, when you were born again, something else wonderful happened, therefore. That the Lord Jesus baptized you in his Holy Spirit. John the Baptist, when he was giving testimony concerning the coming of the Son of God, the Messiah, the Christ, said, I'm baptizing you with water, but there is one coming whose shoes I am not worthy to do or undo. He will baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So it is the Lord Jesus Christ himself who grants you, when you become a believer, the Holy Spirit to dwell within your heart and life. And you then become a temple of the Holy Spirit. My friends, just consider. Is there anything in this world that can compare with the Son of God, who created all things, and the Holy Spirit together, that Holy Spirit who moved over the face of the waters just prior to life itself being created, before God created light, that they together are within your heart and life? Is there anything that compares them with that? We've got the football European Cup going on, and the people will be standing and shouting and cheering and then being disappointed. There can only be one team that wins, and the team that wins only has the cup for a few years, and it's all gone. People are wanting to fly away for holidays in the sun. People are building their mansions. There's a particular road in London where people drive their very, very, very expensive motor cars down the street. And people come to that street simply to watch those great cars going down the street. And the people driving those cars would be thinking, I must be somebody special. This is wonderful. But they're only surrounded by steel and copper and other bits and pieces. There really isn't any glory to it. But in Christ, there is glory. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches. The glorious riches of this ministry, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Friends, nothing that this world offers can compare with this. If you're listening to the gospel this evening and you're thinking about these matters, you wouldn't be watching if you weren't thinking about it, but you've never put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to be your saviour, your future, if you continue in your present state, if you continue in your present path, there is no hope of glory. Only the prospect of an eternal separation from God, from the glory of God, from heaven. And so dreadful is that. It is an eternal matter. We urge you to think seriously. We urge you to begin to seek the Lord God for your Saviour. Well, now he goes on, doesn't he? The apostle says, as you received Christ by faith, continue to live by faith, as it were, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him. So your position this evening is a glorious one. Later on in that letter, the apostle says, your old self died, chapter 3, verse 3, you died. Now your life is hidden with Christ in God. So it is in that state that you must now continue to live in Christ and to be rooted and built up in him. Rooted and built up. Well, now again, we go to the teaching of our Lord Jesus, because this is so vital and so fundamental. And Jesus gives a very simple analogy, illustration, as to what this actually means. The Lord Jesus is recorded in John chapter 15 and verse 4. He says, remain in me. And I will remain in you. You see, there is that blessed union, that union with Christ. Remain in me and I in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unto godliness, unto goodness, unless you remain in me. And then, and this is the Son of God speaking, who is from eternity, he says, I am the vine. You are the branches. It's a wonderful condescension of our Lord Jesus. How he lived that humble life and yet that glorious life. Describes himself as a vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. That's very emphatic, isn't it? It is unambiguous. Outside of Christ, fruitless. In Christ, living in Christ, remaining in Christ, fruitfulness, goodness. Well, now you may ask, well, is it possible, therefore, for me to be separated from Christ? No. Once you have come to know the Lord God as your child, known him as your Saviour, born of God, you are in the kingdom of heaven, and the Lord God has you. He will preserve you. But we must continue thoughtfully, deliberately, to be rooted and built up in the Lord Jesus. And therefore, this is talking about our daily walk and our daily dependence from moment to no moment, hour by hour, to be dependent upon Christ himself, strengthened in faith as you were taught, built up. Now that speaks, doesn't it, of progress, of development, of coming to maturity. My friends, if we neglect the word of God, if we neglect our times of prayer, if we neglect meeting with God's people, if we neglect fellowship, if we neglect meditating upon God's word, We remain as children in as it were, and babes in Christ. But the Lord wants us to grow in Christ, to grow in maturity. And one can therefore say from this point that everything flows from our union with Christ. Our ability to resist temptation comes from our unity with Christ. Without the Lord Jesus, our temptation will take us into sinfulness. It may be in the mind, it may be in what we say, it may be in what we're doing. But when we are tempted, we must again flee to Christ. Lord Jesus, help me. And it is through that union with Christ that we can serve God. We serve him. It is through his power, which is mediated to us through the Holy Spirit. It is in the power of Christ through the Holy Spirit that we must live our Christian life. And then we grow in our understanding. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit. We grow in our appreciation of God. We grow in our appreciation of the truth of God. Now, perhaps you know yourself by now not to be in Christ. What would our word to you would be? Well, there are certainly invitations. The Lord Jesus invites people to come to him. In the Gospel of Matthew and in chapter 11, we read these words, and they're the words of Jesus. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. He doesn't say, come to me when you've got yourself sorted out. He doesn't say, come to me when you've got yourself burnished and polished. He doesn't say, come to me when you've stopped stealing, when you've stopped lying, stopped committing adultery. He says, come to me, all who are weary of your sin and burdened with sin, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. In that picture, there are two beasts of burden pulling the plough. And the Lord Jesus is saying to you in that statement, I will be with you. You will be united to me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. In the Gospel of John, there's a beautiful statement in John chapter 7, verses 37 and 38. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. So John, you see, is again describing what John the Baptist has said when he met Jesus on the Jordan at that time when John the Baptist baptized Jesus. Well, our time is gone. But the Word of God does instruct us as believers. In the psalm writer in Psalm 62 says, my soul waits in silence for the Lord. waits in silence. That should be part of our Christian discipline, our Christian way of living, our soul waiting on the Lord in silence and praying, "Teach me your way, O Lord." That's Psalm 27. Teach me your way. And Psalm 16, "I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me." So you see, the Lord Jesus continues to instruct us by the blessed Holy Spirit. And then, of course, the Apostle reminds us in Romans chapter 12, be constant in prayer. Colossians, be instant in prayer. In Ephesians chapter 6, praying at all times in the Spirit. My friends, we have a glorious life in Christ. We must ever seek to live thoughtfully, deliberately, in the knowledge that we are united to Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Our God and Heavenly Father, we bless and praise you for your word to us. We thank you, Lord, for those who recorded so faithfully the words of our Lord Jesus, for the Apostle Paul, Lord, who waited upon you and sensed that Holy Spirit guiding him as he wrote your word. We pray, Lord, that you will help us, Lord, in our weakness, in our frailty, ever to seek you, Lord, to remain in Christ, to be rooted in our Lord Jesus Christ and built up in him. Lord, we pray for those who do not know you as their Saviour, that ere long, Lord, they will come to you in repentance and faith. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our final hymn this evening is "Who Can Cheer the Heart Like Jesus?" And in your hymn book, that is number 666. And now to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power and authority, through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and evermore. Amen.